Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Chuma, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm great. Just hot here.
We saw in the temperatures, it's around 37, 38 degrees in Gaborone today.
Imagine.
Yeah. Well, please
what,
do.
What can we do?
Do keep safe.
We'll try.
Yeah. No, yesterday we started talking about what repentance is, and we touched on the distinction between repentance and confession. And today we do want to talk about where the motivation for repentance comes from in the first place. Now, is it possible to come to repentance on one's own? Can I recognize the error of my own waywardness, and sin from my own personal influence?
Like we said yesterday, for you to appreciate the need for repentance, you need to appreciate where you are. You need to appreciate the need for God, the need for Christ. For you to appreciate the need for Christ, you need someone to introduce you to the Bible, or you need to introduce yourself to the Bible. So you need to find your way to God's Word, and then He will show you you are lost. He will show you you need direction. He will show you where you are. He will show you you need to improve. He'll show you you need to change. Then you will be able to repent. So when we speak about personal motivation, we cannot be motivated without the knowledge. So we need to find knowledge from somewhere.
Okay.
And then we can then see the need for repentance. But we need to admit that when you have discovered your lostlessness, if we may call it that, when you have discovered the fact that you are not in the right path, then you need to be motivated for you to be able to commit to the process of repentance.
Now, interesting that you are talking about that it's got to come from a point of knowledge. You must have had knowledge from somewhere, etc. Aren't there certain things, quite a number of things actually, that should be natural in one's own conscience without having been told by anyone? You know, for instance, I mean, if you have lied, It should be a natural occurrence that no man, but what I'm doing is wrong, without really having had knowledge of that, and just decide, you know what, I'm just not going to do this again. Should you be getting information from elsewhere? Where on the other side, I think that it should be inborn, not so.
Yeah, the Bible says our righteousness is like filthy rags. It doesn't say our unrighteousness. It says our righteousness is like filthy rags. It suggests to you, it suggests to me that my best is not good enough. So we cannot call my best any form of repentance. If I was a killer and I stopped killing, if I was a thief and I stopped stealing, if I was a murderer and I stopped murdering, I was a rapist, I stopped raping, I am not repentant. The only time we can speak of repentance is when Christ is involved.
Yeah.
So, yes, you can say, this is not right. This is not right. We can say, I need to change my ways. But unless there is the realization that you need Christ in your life, even if you have stopped stealing, you have stopped doing wrong, even if yourself has realized that this is wrong, we can't say you are repentant. Maybe that's when we can talk about the fake repentance we were talking about yesterday.
So that becomes a bit of a fake situation.
It's a fake situation. I will look at it as a person. You will look at it as a person to say that, no, this person has really changed. We could even call it this person has repented. We could say this person is no longer the old person, but the person will not have repented. According to us, according to our judgment, we'll call the person repentant. But in the books of the Bible, in the context of Christ, we cannot call that repentance.
I see. Now, does repentance, Muruti, mean that we will never then commit that particular sin again? And if we do repeat that sin, does that mean our repentance was not genuine?
No, it doesn't mean we will never repeat it again. It doesn't mean if you are a thief and then you give your life to Christ and then you confess to Christ and then you say you have stopped stealing and the following day you steal again, it doesn't say you are no longer repentant. Now, this is what God does with us.
Mm-hmm.
If I've been a thief for the past 10 years, if I've been a murderer for the past 10 years, if I've been lying for the past 10 years, and I realize that, no, this is not right, and I decide, no, with Christ, I am changing my life, and I give it to him, and he accepts my plea, and he wipes off those 10 years. It's as if you have never sinned. It's as if you've never done that wrong.
Mm.
So in the moment you repent, you are clean, you are pure. When you sin again, or you repeat the same thing you've done before you repented, Jesus does not say this is number 10 or number 11.
Mm.
It's from 0 to 1. So when you have repented, it is always from 0 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have repented and you sin again, you have committed your first sin according to Christ. When you repent, you confess, you are forgiven, that sin is wiped away.
Mm.
So it doesn't matter how many times it happens. But, you know, when we are... because we are developing a relationship here, we are developing a pattern. It becomes easier for you not to repeat sin as and when you are staying in Christ, when you are used to staying in Christ, when you are used to living in Christ.
So you say that even if a person does repeat that sin, it does not mean that that repentance was not genuine.
Was fake? No, it doesn't mean it was fake.
Okay, so if this person,
a righteous man falls 7 times and gets up 7 times.
I see. Now you're talking. Now you're talking. I can hear you. Now I can hear you. Now, I don't know, Muruti, if there's such a term as a true repentance, and how does that even look like?
If there's no fake repentance, then there's no true repentance. Mm. There's only repentance.
Okay.
But if there is fake, then there must be true repentance.
Mm-hmm.
But if we were to say there's true repentance, true repentance would be a situation whereby the repentance is solely based on Christ and Christ alone.
Mm-hmm.
When we say our righteousness is like filthy rags, it also suggests that even as I'm giving my life to Christ, it's not good enough.
Mm.
It is only Christ who can transform me to a better place.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot transform myself. I cannot change myself. I cannot make myself better.
Mm.
It is only Christ who can make me better.
True.
Yeah.
And so that then requires a dependence, complete dependence upon him.
Complete dependence on him.
Mm. This is now upon which repentance will occur.
Yes, sir.
Mm. True indeed. Now, can someone say, and I don't know if this is possible, you know, I've really been trying to repent over the last 3 years. I'm struggling. I've been trying to repent.
You know, one of the biggest challenges we have in Christian circles in the church is the fact that church members look at elders and look at pastors, and because pastors are not what they thought they're supposed to be, because elders are not what they thought they are supposed to be, then we dismiss Christianity as a whole. We dismiss the notion of Christ and the notion of Christianity as a whole, because an elder today repents, tomorrow he falls. Tomorrow he repents, tomorrow he falls. Today he repents, tomorrow he falls. And then he looks back and then says, you know what, I've been trying so hard, but it's not working. It's not working mainly because we think when you have repented, you are, what do they say in some circles? They say saved once. Once saved, always saved. Now, when you have that notion, then when you sin, you assume then it means I was never saved. Some even in our circles, even in the church, they will call you a Christian is a man who is living it with Christ and Christ and darkness cannot share the same space, suggesting therefore that when you sin, there is no Christ in you. So when you have those notions around you and you look at your life, because our lives are just like we are sinful. You know, even as when we draw closer to Christ, we realize how more sinful we are. And then when you look at that, then you assume, nah, then it means I'm far from repented. I'm far from Christ. But no, you can repent, fall. The time you give your life to Christ, you are a pure Christian. When you fall, just give it back to Him. He will accept it and we move on.
Beautiful, beautiful. I like what you're saying, because some people would think that, they are very holy. I mean, they've been able to repent and they've never fallen again. But you'd never know what happens behind closed doors. It's a battle. It's a true battle, you know, because we fight against flesh and, you know, our own selves. And I've heard someone saying the biggest battle that you can ever fight is against self.
And that's very true.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if Christianity was a competition between two human beings, it would be very easy, because I can beat you in a competition.
Yes, yes.
But now it is not about the other person. It's solely about you.
Exactly.
You know, so you keep on, you are fighting your yesterday. You are fighting your last minute. You always want to get better every minute. So it's the most difficult thing ever to compete against self.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. No, Muruti, ke uleboga this afternoon for joining us. Indeed, the Lord will bless you. I'm looking forward to connecting with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.